Hello, hello. Another day, another podcast episode. Welcome back, or welcome to the On My Mind podcast. If you're new here, thanks for coming. I hope you stay a while. And if you are returning, it's good to have you back. We're just going to have a nice little chat today. As usual, it's just me. Obviously, I kind of miss doing guest episodes. I really want to have Micah back on. If you are new here or you don't know, Micah is my boyfriend and he's so well-spoken. He's one of the few people in my life I truly, genuinely trust with advice, and I just think he's so funny. He's very insightful, and so, yeah, all the episodes we've ever done together, one, I love so much, and it's also fun to just talk to him and share that with you guys, and two, clearly you all like it too, because those are some of my best performing episodes. Clearly you don't like me just by myself. So, yeah, I feel like we need to bring him back on because it's been almost a year now that it's March, which is freaking insane. It's almost been a year since he's been on, and so much has changed. He's about to start his career as a firefighter. He's about to graduate academy, which is so cool. Anyway, yeah, we need him back on, but it's just me today. I hope you're having a good day when you're listening to it. If not, hopefully this episode brightens your mood, but I'm feeling pretty good. You all know I've been kind of going through like a little rut lately, but I've been doing the things that feel good, and it's definitely been working. I went to a cycle class this morning, which felt like a true system reset. Anytime I get my blood flowing like that, I feel like it flushes everything out. Also, this is kind of weird, but I don't know, sometimes I cry during the cycle class. This has happened quite a few times, so it's not that jarring to me, but I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just in such a vulnerable place because it's already so humbling, this specific workout, that when they get to the part at my studio specifically, but even at other studios that I've been to, after the arms segment near the end of the class, they do more of like a slower, meaningful song and then speak about something inspirational, and then I'll just end up sobbing. So yeah, I don't know, something about high intensity workouts, I'm a cry, especially if it's a dark room. But anyway, no tears today. So a win is a win. Nothing I had to get out there, but that felt amazing. I've been reading finally again lately, which is so nice. My screen time was heinously high the past month, and that never makes me feel good. It's one thing when I'm doing stuff for work, but I was kind of just rotting on my phone a lot of the time. And I think a lot of it is due to when I'm not in a good mental place, I try to distract myself rather than facing things and dealing with it, which isn't necessarily good. However, that's just life. So I'm trying to cut back down, and I've been reading again, which is really, really nice. I feel like it's funny because I'll always be like, if I'm not in the reading mood, I'll make excuses saying I don't have time to read, yada, yada, yada. I definitely do. Look at the screen time and tell me you don't have time to read if you take an hour away from your screen time. Actually, some people are really good about that. I love hearing what people's screen time is. I'll be honest, it's only 3 p.m. right now, and my screen time for the day, let's see what it is. I'll be so honest. Even though you would never know if I'm lying, 3 hours and 45 minutes. An hour and 43 of those was YouTube, because I was cleaning and then I was making breakfast, and I like to just have on entertainment, which isn't necessarily good. And I'm starting to realize that, you know what, it's okay that I do that, but also, what does it say that I can't just do things in silence? When was the last time I took a silent car drive? I really don't do well with silence. I feel like something is always playing, but it's funny because I love being alone and sometimes I like silence, but lately, a lot of the time, something's got to be on, something's got to be playing, but then it ends up distracting me. So it's very counterintuitive because it's not just background noise. It becomes what my attention is on. So I got to watch myself with that one. But I read an Abby Jimenez book. If you're looking for adult romance books that aren't super smutty, smut is like book, P-R-O-N. I don't know if I get demonetized, so I'll spell it out, but that's what it is. There's not too much of that in her books, just the perfect little sprinkle. It's nothing too intense or crazy or uncomfortable, just enough to keep you interested. I love her books. She's one of my favorite authors right now, and I just think the way she writes is so captivating and entertaining, and I really like her, I don't know, just her the stories that she comes up with, I think are so creative. And also what I love about her books is that they kind of all belong to the same world. So there's sets of books. So I think she has maybe 8 or 9 books out, but there's sets of 2 or 3. They're grouped together. And even though, let's say there's 3 books, in a little series kind of, even though it's not really a series. So say in one book, there's a main character and then there's a side character that she introduces in the book. The next book will be about the side character. So it kind of all exists in the same world, which I think is really interesting because once you start reading them, and especially if you read them in order, which I definitely think you should, I did not because I didn't know there was an order, even though you can read them out of order, but it might give little spoilers here and there. Anyway, I find it's so much more interesting to keep up with because you're like, oh, wait, I know the setting of this. And you kind of get the perspective of a different character that you're a little bit familiar with. So I just think it's super fun without it being like a sequel. It's just part of the same fiction world. So I really like her books for that. I think a new one came out for this year and I have it pre-ordered. It's on the way. I'm so excited to read it. I just read my final book from her, so I'm excited to finally have this new one on my hands. And then I also just read my Freda McFadden book. Freda McFadden is my favorite thriller mystery author. She's just so good at what she does. I read Do Not Disturb. It was a little disturbing. Nothing too crazy. Didn't make my skin crawl. Didn't make me too uncomfortable, but still such an interesting, captivating read. I was just zooming through it to the point where, you know, I put off priorities, whatever, because I just wanted to feel or find out what happened. So those are the two books that I recently read. One for everyone. If you don't like romance, maybe the mystery one's for you and vice versa. But yeah, I don't know. I'm really into variety. Actually, that's such a lie. I pretty much only like mystery, thriller, and romance. And then whatever category ACOTAR is, I guess fantasy. I'm starting to get into fantasy books. But other than that, I've never really read, I don't really read nonfiction, which I'm definitely interested in. It's just not something I've dived into yet. I don't read sci-fi or anything like that. But if you have any books that you think I need to read from different categories than what I already read, definitely let me know because I'm open to it. I don't want to be closed off, you know? My dream is to have a home library one day. If it doesn't come true, whatever, it's okay. I don't think that's going to happen in the house that I'm moving into because that just, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen with the house that I'm moving into soon. Just because I don't really know where that would take place. But a home library. First of all, that just gives wealth. I was going through my stuff because I've been slowly starting the moving out process. And I had so many books. I got rid of a good 40 to 50. Donated it to the local library, which is nice. And I'm glad someone else can read them. It was mostly books that I've already read that I don't want to keep. I only kept books that I already read that are my absolute favorite books and ones that I want to loan out or maybe read again in the future. So anyway, I don't know why I'm beating the dead horse with this book subject. If you want a podcast episode on this ever about my favorite reads, how to get into it, let me know because reading makes you hot. So why not talk about it? Why not spread the news? This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. As I'm getting older, time definitely feels like it's going by quicker. There's so many days wishing I had more time for myself, more time for others. Especially lately, I've found it difficult to balance everything and prioritize what matters to me. If I had 1 hour extra in a day, I would dedicate it to showing up not just for myself, but for others too. Life can be really amazing when you prioritize your happiness, embrace your passions, and spend time with the ones you love most. But life isn't always that simple. Therapy can be your personalized roadmap to a more balanced, joy-infused life. It's personally helped me find what matters most so that I can add more of it into my busy days, and it can help you too. If you're thinking of starting therapy, BetterHelp could be the fit for you. It's done entirely online, so it's super convenient. It's designed to be flexible and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/mind today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, help.com/mind. I'm going on my first trip of the year next week, which I'm excited, but I'm also nervous because for me, when I haven't traveled for a while, I get so homebody and I don't know. I just love my routines. I'm finally starting to get back into routine. So I'm like, great, that's going to get thrown off, but it's a work trip. So obviously not something I want to turn down, and it's a cool opportunity. I'm going to Seattle, which I'm really excited about. I went when I was younger, maybe 10, 11, 12, somewhere around that age. I don't really remember what I did there other than going to a museum with a whisper dish out front, getting lost in the parking lot and not being able to find the rental car, and seeing the Space Needle. I don't think we went inside of it though. Did we? I have no idea. My memory is really, it's really dicey. I feel like I have good short-term memory, but long-term, unfortunately, it's really specific to just random moments here and there. But yeah, my memory isn't the best. But yeah, I'm going to be in Seattle, which I'm very excited about, only for a few days. So that'll be fun. I feel like I just get anxious leading up to it because I'm like, oh, who else is going to be there? I'm pretty sure there's going to be other creators, which I'm always excited to meet other creators because it's just cool to meet other people that do what I do. There's not a lot of people that live in Hawaii. Like, I don't feel like I have a huge community of that here. And my friends that do content don't live here. They just are kind of snowbirds here, so they don't live here the full year. So it'll be nice to be surrounded by that. I always feel inspired after a work trip. So yeah, I get anxious to leave my routines while also being simultaneously excited. But that's something I'm trying to work on, because before I would get so anxious to the point of it just like eating me alive. I don't know why I had such bad travel anxiety, not about the actual travel part, but just about leaving and being gone. But distance makes the heart grow fonder in terms of, you know, missing Micah, whatever. That's part of it. But also, there's nothing like missing someone. That is my favorite thing about traveling, is like missing each other, because we live together. You don't get that super missing you feeling as much, even though I miss him like during the work days. But yeah, it kind of happened last minute, which I think is probably better for me, because I get so nervous leading up to it. When I have trips planned out super far in advance, I just hyperfixate on it and worry about it. And then once I'm there, everything's great. I'm so glad that I'm there. But I don't know. I don't know if anyone else feels like this, but I just get really, really severe travel anxiety to the point where I will just like cry and freak out. And yeah, I don't think that's going to happen this time. It's a new year. I'm hoping to put that in the past. But yeah, first trip of the year. I really don't think this is going to be a big travel year for me. I don't really have anything planned. I do have a little something fun planned for Micah for his graduation gift, for graduating fire academy and becoming a firefighter, but nothing crazy. That'll just be the two of us. But other than that, yeah, I don't think this is my travel year, and I'm really excited to just enjoy home and enjoy the process of moving, making the house a home. And yeah, I think that's what this year is gonna be, other than random opportunities that might come up. I won't say no, probably, but even though I'm also a content creator, I always used to feel really bad about myself when I would see other people traveling and doing all these cool things, given, yes, I've traveled and I've shared that. So you might have felt this way about me, which if you have, I get it, because I've been in that position too, where it's like, wow, these people are going all these cool places and I'm just at home. I don't know. I've felt that before, but it's interesting how comparison works, because I'm not someone who is a huge traveling girly, even though I did a lot of trips last year, a lot of new places, a lot of dream places, and I'm so grateful that I did all of it. But I actually don't like, well, I don't want to say I don't like, I love traveling, but I'm not the kind of person that wants a trip a month. That stresses me out a little bit. I don't know. It was just interesting when I would get almost envious of someone else, not to the point where I'm like, oh, I wish I was you, but I would just feel bad about myself seeing other people have their European summer for like 3 months. And I'm like, what? I don't know. It's just ironic, because even though I would see that and feel that type of way, when I would step back and ask myself, do I even want that? Usually the answer was no. So it's just interesting how comparison online works, because sometimes you'll see someone's life and be like, wow, I'm so jealous, or I wish I had that. But when you actually think about it, maybe you don't. Or maybe you do, because sometimes I have. Sometimes I'm like, yes, I actually do want that. But that is a slippery slope that I know all too well. So that's also one of the pros of spending less time on my phone, is perceiving other people's lives as much. I think there's got to be a balance of seeing other people live their lives and getting inspired by it, because I love seeing what other people do, getting inspired by it, and, you know, just getting excited for my own life about certain things. But it comes to a point where too much is too much, and then you're kind of just living your own life watching someone else's, and that's not good. I feel like it's really easy to fall in that trap, because there's endless amounts of content to consume, endless amounts of content creators to keep up with their lives. And yeah, you gotta pick and choose. And this is all ironic, because that is what I do. My living is people watching me live my life. And so if you choose to watch me, I'm very grateful for that. Hopefully my stuff leaves you feeling good, because that's the goal. That's the point. I don't know. My biggest advice is to choose whose content you consume wisely and make sure it makes you feel good. For me, I like to watch people who are either in similar stages of life to me that I can really relate to. And then I also like to watch people who have lives that are completely unrelatable to me, but I find it interesting and it's entertaining and inspiring. So yeah, speaking of phones and phone addiction and social media, it's kind of the perfect intro to this episode that I got very inspired to do as I was sitting on the couch about 15 minutes ago, being bored, not really having anything to do because I got all of my stuff done. I had this idea come to my head of, this is what I want to talk about, because this is something that I've talked about with Micah a lot, and this is something that I realize a lot in myself. It's that instant gratification is more prevalent in this time and age and in our generation than ever before. And this whole thing in my head was sparked because I was bored and I was like, oh, what can I do? What can I stimulate myself with? What can I distract myself with to be not bored? Boredom is good. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about instant versus delayed gratification because, like I said, I think our generation is the first generation to have things so easily accessible at our fingertips. And even though it's convenient, it's amazing what technology can do, and it's amazing how far we've come, I also think there are a lot of drawbacks to that, and it's good to be aware of these things, because then once you have awareness towards it, you can kind of realize it, make changes if you want to, if you need to. Sometimes it just takes being aware of something to take action and change, if you want to, of course. So instant gratification is the need to immediately fulfill an urge or desire. It manifests itself in impulsive decision making for the fulfillment of an urge instantly and is also known as immediate gratification. And then on the flip side, delayed gratification is the act of resisting an impulse to take an immediately available reward in the hope of obtaining a more valued reward in the future. The ability to delay gratification is essential to self-regulation or self-control. CoverGirl's Lash Blast Cleantopia, the plant-powered mascara you know and love, is now available in a new ultramarine black shade, a fun twist on classic black. Sometimes it's nice to shake things up a little bit, add a fun twist to your everyday makeup. As someone who leans towards a more natural style, the new Cleantopia mascara definitely lets you effortlessly enhance your features whenever you play around with makeup. Mascara is my absolute go-to product, a complete game changer in my makeup routine that just makes it feel finished and complete. So when I found out about this new shade, I had to try, and let me tell you, it did not disappoint. It's so fun. I think because it's enriched with those ultramarine pigments, the new shade is more of a deep black with a hint of blue, and it gives your eyes a more radiant and awakened look. CoverGirl is taking its first step into the world of plant-powered, clean, vegan mascara, meticulously designed for maximum volume. The hourglass brush elevates and magnifies every lash, delivering up to 300% more volume. Beyond volumizing, the vegan formula nurtures lashes, leaving them feeling cared for. I'm definitely a mascara girly, and what truly excites me is the commitment to creating clean beauty products. This mascara allows me to not only look good, but feel good, knowing that it aligns with those values. It's beauty with a purpose, making every application a conscious choice. Experience the perfect blend of clean and beauty only from easy breezy beautiful CoverGirl. The reason I think instant gratification is so much worse in these times and in our generation is because we grew up having things easy for us. You want something, you want something delivered, you can pretty much at the tap of a few buttons have it delivered within the day, within the next few days. If you're bored, it's the easiest thing in the world to hop on your phone, find something entertaining, like TikTok, for example. And as much as I love social media, too much of a good thing can easily become a bad thing. And I think especially with TikTok, our attention spans have become so short. And I feel this in myself too. My attention span is a lot shorter than it used to be because now content is fast. It's the easiest thing to just swipe away as soon as something doesn't interest you. And if something drags on too long, it's really hard to pay attention. I can't even imagine being in school right now. I feel like our attention spans have gotten shorter within the last 4 years once TikTok kind of took over the world. I can't even imagine what it's like to be a student because I already had trouble, not trouble focusing in class, but you know, sometimes school's boring. You don't necessarily care about whatever subject. That's hard enough as it is. To have a short attention span just makes it even harder, so I can't even imagine. Another example of instant gratification is hitting snooze. You hit it, you immediately just feel so good because you get a few extra minutes of sleep. And then usually there's been sleep studies that are done. When you hit snooze, it's harder for you to wake up. You're disrupting your sleep cycle, and it just makes it harder for you down the road. There's so many more examples I could list, but basically anything that gives you an immediate reward, an immediate feeling of satisfaction. Sometimes that's okay to have little doses of here and there, but I feel like in our generation, or just in general in this day and age that we're all existing, I feel like it's just become worse. And the reason I think this can be so problematic is because good things in life take time. Schoolwork takes time, takes effort. You don't get a lot of immediate satisfaction from all the little things that lead up to your goal of, let's say, graduating. All the homework, all the essays, all the different projects that you have to do is for that big goal of gratification of graduating. That is nowhere near immediate gratification. And so the reason I think this can become really problematic is because a lot of things in life that are worth it and a lot of things in life that we have to do involve being able to put in work over time. The things that are worth it, good things take time. For example, let's say your goal is to graduate college. All the little assignments, homework, projects, things that you have to do take time leading up to the big goal. Now, before I move on, don't get mad at me for speaking on this because I did not go to college. No, did go through high school. Woohoo. But I don't think it's a coincidence that we are kind of like the first generation to have so many people not going to school and not choosing that route. And that's okay if that's for you, because that's for me. So it's one thing to be like, you know what, school's not for me. I have other dreams and goals that I want to achieve that don't necessarily require school. I don't think school equals success, because in a lot of cases it doesn't. And a lot of jobs these days, it's the real world experience that matters more and is a little bit more valuable than just textbook school. We all know the sitch. But I also think that we probably have one of the most lazy generations. And it's so interesting because I was actually talking about this last night at dinner with Micah's parents. Micah was saying how we are like the first generation to struggle so much going into the workforce. You talk to your grandparents or elders around you and they hit the ground running. I think of the things that my grandpa did and just like different older people in my life. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, that's so much hard work. I could never. I might be a little bit part of the problem. And I'm aware of that. But to summarize what Micah was saying, we have one of the most laziest generations because things are made so easy for us in so many other areas of life that it makes it hard to want to work hard. A lot of the people in our generation don't want to work hard. And that's not to say that a lot of the people in our generation do, because there's so many hard workers who are doing amazing things that people before us never did. We're not talking about that though, okay? I'll give credit where credit is due. Yes, I'm aware of that, but that's not what this episode is about. This episode is just, I don't know. I just wanted to talk about this concept because I think it's so interesting and it's so prevalent. Like, it's so obvious. I feel like all these things I'm saying are kind of hard to deny. If you take a look around you, I feel like you might notice it a little bit more once you're aware of it, how lazy our generation has become. Like I said, I'm part of the problem sometimes. It's really nice when things are easy, when things are handed to you, but there's no work ethic behind that. And it's really hard to build work ethic when you expected things to just be handed to you. I get a lot of hits of instant gratification as soon as I upload a video, because I know a lot of people are gonna see it. I mean, on the flip side, it took me 7 years to build the platform to where it is now. That was a labor of love, that was hard work. But now that I've gotten to the point where I'm at, as soon as I upload a video, I know thousands of people are gonna watch it. It's almost like instant gratification of, I just uploaded a video, what are people saying? And it's these hits of dopamine and spikes of that that are truly addicting. Instant gratification is addicting, and it's just the easiest, most accessible thing to us. And honestly, I don't think it's completely avoidable. I don't know if I would want to completely avoid it personally. Hopefully no one's offended hearing this. I'm not calling anyone out. Obviously I'm not pointing fingers like, you listening, I'm talking about you. Let's not take it that way. Okay. That's not what I'm doing. I've been calling myself out a little bit here, but this is just a conversation I wanted to have because maybe you also noticed this, or maybe you haven't. And now you're like, oh shit, I kind of see it too. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this, to bring it to your awareness, maybe if you haven't thought about it, is that it just makes it so much harder when you have to deal with an actual difficult task in the future by being used to things being easy and smooth sailing and being able to usually instantly gratify yourself. Is gratify a word? Don't know. And that contributes to the whole cycle of instant gratification. You're doing a pleasurable activity, you're watching Netflix, scrolling through TikTok, you feel rewarded, your brain releases dopamine and encourages you to opt for the pleasurable activity next time. Then when you have to deal with a difficult task, it triggers you, and then you want to avoid the task, leading you to want to do a pleasurable activity, and the cycle just goes on. I did not make that up. I totally just looked up an infographic on Google, but it's so true. Like I said earlier, this has been a conversation within myself lately, and also between me and Micah. And so I've been actively trying to overcome these things now that I'm aware of it. One of the best things is to eliminate the source of distraction, whether that's TV or social media. Obviously, everything in doses is okay. And you deserve to watch TV. You deserve to scroll through social media. But like I said before, too much of something can end up not being a good thing. Identifying what triggers you to want to do those things. And also just holding yourself accountable, pursuing long-term rewards and short-term sacrifice for a long-term gain. I think it's really, really easy to want the things that are just the easiest. But like I said earlier, the things that are the most worth it, are the most rewarding, are the things that you put time and energy and effort into. For example, school, if that is your chosen path, like I've mentioned already, or even relationships. A healthy, loving, understanding, communicative relationship comes with effort. It's not easy to get there. There's obstacles that you have to overcome, conversations that you have to have that sometimes are hard and sometimes are uncomfortable. It's being willing to do those things for that long-term gain and that long-term reward. I wanted to talk about this whole topic in general because I don't want to fall victim to this, and I don't want you to either. I want you to have a happy, prosperous life and reach your goals and have good work ethic. I think good work ethic is really important. It's amazing and it's admirable. I will say, if you're listening to this right now, if you are hearing these words, if you're listening to this episode, however many minutes we're in, you're doing amazing, because a lot of people don't listen to podcasts because it's that long form content. Their brain is conditioned for shorter videos and just instantly gratifying things. Podcasts are more drawn out. It's longer and it takes a while to like get to the point. It's like reading. I don't think there's a lot of instant gratification in reading, because to figure out what happens, that gratifying moment in the book, it takes a long time to get there. Usually it's near the end or a little bit after the halfway mark. It takes a while to get to that point. So if you're listening to this, you're doing amazing. Long form, I'm a long form girly for life. I've talked about this before, but I just think it's so interesting how all these platforms have their own version of short form content. YouTube with shorts, Instagram with reels, TikTok. The world is moving towards short form, and I just think there's a lot of brain rot behind that. Listen, sometimes it's nice to brain rot. I give myself a little bit of time to do that, maybe like once a day. I'm not gonna lie, everyone's different. But if you get too sucked into that vortex, it's really hard to get out. I think also if that's something you want to work on too, because I've definitely been working on this, because I mean, hey, it's just the world we live in. It's normal at this point to do things that are fast, easy, and instantly gratify us. But I think one of the best things you can do, I already gave some examples of how to overcome instant gratification, but I myself am definitely trying to incorporate more delayed gratification into my life, because it's so easy. I mean, this is just the world we live in. It's really normalized, and that's okay if you fall victim to it a little bit, because I know I do. And like I said, that's just the world we live in, but bringing awareness to it is the first step. If that's something you also want to move away from, I think for me, some of the biggest things in my life that I actively do that are delayed gratification is working out. Even though there is the instant gratification of endorphins and feeling good, my delayed gratification is living a long and healthy life, having good heart health. When I do my cardio, that's something that will pay off later. All these things that I do for my body is not for me right now, it's for future me. Me doing my skincare and my SPF every single day is so that I have better chances of, you know, just having better skin when I'm older. I'm doing that for future me as well. On an adult note, even just saving money for retirement instead of spending it all now is a big act of delayed gratification. I think about this all the time. Every year when I put my money into my retirement account, I see how much I put in and I'm like, wow, that is money that I could have now. But you know what? 60-year-old me, when I am able to take that out one day, I'm going to be so grateful for that. All of this to say, I'm not going to be perfect. I'm going to give in to instant gratification because this is just the generation we live in, and that's okay. But I just personally really want to focus on being aware of it so that I have more control over it instead of it having control over me. A big focus for me these days has been mindfulness and intention. Intention is my word of 2024, and I think that's perfectly aligned to what I'm speaking about in this episode. Just doing things intentionally with mindfulness behind it. I just thought of this, but another thing I actually have been really trying to work on lately, you might do this too. I know a lot of us do. I see it in the people around me. I see it in myself. As soon as, let's say you're public, out and about, you're at lunch or dinner with a friend, they go to the bathroom, your first instinct is to grab your phone because it's comfortable, it's what you know, it distracts you from feeling awkward, from looking awkward, from being alone. That's something I'm really trying to work on, whether I'm standing in line waiting for my turn at Jamba Juice or whatever. Whatever, wherever I'm at, I'm trying not to rely so heavily on my phone as a crutch because I really think it is one. It's something that's hard because for me, it's like an emotional support thing, especially when I'm socially anxious or just anxious in general. I don't know what to do with myself. That's been my challenge for myself lately, is to not go on my phone. This is so TMI, but it's the podcast, so you know what? I'm just going to say it. Ugh, I don't even know if I like recommend doing this or like saying I recommend doing this because I don't want you to get mad at me. Like, I know this is like the phone time to have, but I have been using the bathroom without my phone. yeah, I'm really just taking it to the next level with that one. That sounds illegal. And you know, I at first was reading the back of shampoo bottles because we're so programmed to distract ourselves with things. And it's so interesting to me. I'm trying to break that. Again, I'm not going to be able to be perfect with this, but yeah, the other day I was using the bathroom, didn't even read the back of any bottles. Whew, that was humbling for sure, but I did it. Woohoo. I think I'm just tired of falling to the stereotype of being another one of those young kids addicted to their phones. Like, yes, I am. And I will probably continue to be, but I want to have a better relationship with it. So that's what I'm trying to do personally. That's not me telling you have to do that too, but just something I've been thinking about lately and trying to incorporate. So yeah, all this was sparked from me being bored and being like, you know what? Boredom is good. As much as I would love to pick up my phone right now because it's the easiest thing to do, what is that going to do for me? Boredom is where creativity sparks, and your creativity can really come out and shine when we're constantly feeding our brain these different things, these different distractions. It's really hard to get creative in whatever way. And I think a lot towards the future too, how I want to parent one day. Because iPad kids are real and there's no judgment towards that, but it's obvious when you see toddlers at a restaurant just mesmerized by their iPad, you don't really see them, which just makes me sad. I'm like, when I was little, I was on color or using like the restaurant's coloring books and coloring. Again, times have changed, so you gotta adjust with the times. I don't know what I'm gonna do when I'm a mom because I'm not at that point yet. You can only think of how you're gonna be, but you know, I don't even blame people because I'm sure with how convenient it is to let your kid use technology or whatever it is, because you need them to be distracted so you can finally have moments to yourself. I get that. I see it when my mom babysits her goddaughter and she puts on Cocomelon for her, and my mom finally has a few moments in her long babysitting hour day to clean up or do something. Her godchild is distracted and she's consumed with something, so you don't have to be so hands-on. Like, I totally get that. I think what makes me sad is just not seeing as many kids in the street anymore, like playing. I don't know. I think for me, some of my most fondest moments of childhood is being outside, enjoying nature, going on play dates. I wouldn't want my own kids to miss out on those opportunities. So, you know, there's no perfect way to parent in a broad sense. You have to do what works for you. And again, I can't really speak on that. You can only imagine like what it'll be like when you're a parent one day. But yeah, I'm not saying I'm totally against that. I just think It's so crazy how times have changed. Like, wow. When I think back to little me, I think about all the imaginary friends that I created in my mind because I was bored, because I didn't have all of this mind-numbing things. And again, honestly, there are some really educational games out there and shows out there. So I'm not really talking about that. I just think in general, some of my most cherished memories are all the simple things. Ugh, our world is just so complicated, but I feel like we make it complicated. So maybe this is all a hot take. Maybe it's not. Let me know your thoughts in the most recent podcast Instagram post. I'd love to have a conversation about it and see what you think, because obviously this is just my opinion and you're allowed to have your own, whether you agree or you disagree. And that's okay. That's the beauty of humanity. We're all different. We all think different things. But yeah, I'm kind of surprised at how much I popped off on this topic. At first, I was like, I don't even know if I have enough to say, but clearly I do. So hopefully you liked this episode. You enjoyed hearing my point of view. And that was everything, almost. Gotta hold myself back a little bit sometimes. Everything on my mind.